Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Us right now on the Red Sox station and on the Harbor One hotline, it is Nathan Eovaldi of the Boston Red Sox. Hey, Nate, thanks for being on this morning.
Hey, how y'all doing? Can y'all hear me okay?
We can hear you great. We don't want to, I know you pitchers have odd routines. Are we interfering with that in any way, shape, or form? Is there something that you would rather be doing to get ready?
No, I'm good.
All right, good. From your perspective, which felt better, last Tuesday against the Yankees or the series win over the Rays?
Man, every time you advance, it feels better and better. Winning that elimination game against the Yankees, the energy that we had in the crowd, that was a really special moment. And then I think everybody still was counting us out against the Rays, so it felt, the feelings are both good once you win. So hopefully we can keep that going.
Speaking of Fenway, has it been the loudest that you've ever heard this last week and a half here?
It really has. I don't know if that's, dealing with COVID last year, the struggles that we had and just all the fans really coming together now, being able to support us through the run right now. But, man, the energy we had against the Yankees game, it's carried over. And I think that shows, we've been able to clinch both series at home. And I think that's the first time since 13, because in 18, I know we clinched all the games on the road. So to be able to celebrate in front of our fans and, just give them the thanks and from all the support that they've been giving us, it's been awesome.
Being the ace on this team, how much pressure do you put on yourself when you go out there every start? I mean, you look like you're super locked in. So is there a lot of pressure you put on yourself, or do you kind of go, I'm going to go out there and do what I do?
I try to go out there and do what I do. I know there's going to be a lot more pressure, especially in the wild card game and the third game against the Rays that I threw. There's a lot on the line, but I think it's the energy again from the atmosphere, from the fans, just knowing what's at stake. It really locks me in more, I think, and I'm able to go out there and execute my pitches a lot better as opposed to a regular season game. There might be those times where you might slip up. You're trying to go all nine innings. Now there's really no chance that we're going to go nine innings. We're trying to go through the lineup two times through six innings. Try to be perfect through the lineup twice. And if AC wants to leave me out there at that point, I'm more than happy to keep taking the ball out there. But I'm expecting him to take us. Be done. We're going to be done by the sixth inning. And I think there's two sides to look at it. Hopefully you're only around 70, 80 pitches at that point and you're not at 100. So hopefully you'll be able to go the next day and be able to help the guys out of the bullpen, similar to what Pivetta's been able to do for us.
Speaking of pressure, a lot of people put a lot of pressure on Heim Bloom at the trade deadline. A lot of people thinking he didn't have enough confidence in this team that they could go all the way. Obviously, you guys are looking great in the postseason. In the clubhouse, did players feel that at all?
I'm sure. I think we were a little frustrated that we didn't make more moves, but picking up the guys that we did, Schwarber was a huge pickup. We got Robles, who's been huge for us on the stretch. Same with Davis. Schwarber, I think, has been the biggest one so far. The energy that he's been able to bring into the clubhouse on a day in, day out basis. And just once it was like once we finally got to the playoffs, we all clicked again. We had that same feeling at the beginning of the season, kind of before the trade deadline, you know, and then we had our struggles at the deadline and you know, we ran into the COVID issues as well. Everything kind of hit us all at once. And once we kind of got separated from each other dealing with the COVID, everybody kind of came back and we got hot again. It was, I don't know, it was almost like the game was taken away from us and nobody liked that. And we kind of had that same feeling going into Washington. You know, it came down to those last three games and we were able to come out on top with the big sweep of Washington and we were able to take home field advantage for the Yankees. And I think once we got home and again with the electricity from the fans and the energy in the stadium, that really sparked us. And now we've been playing extremely good baseball.
I know you guys talk about thriving a little bit when it comes to those who haven't believed in this team. I have to admit, I was one of them. But also, do you guys get energy also, or are you in some way, shape, or form, are you playing as a team for Alex Cora and his redemption, if you want to use that word, in baseball?
Yeah. It's a tricky one because I feel like as if we're playing with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder because everybody was doubting us throughout the entire season. Us as a team, we knew the talent we had coming into spring training and then especially having AC come back, you know, it gave us that even more confidence. You know, he doesn't waver as a manager. It's just, he's locked in from the first game on, you know, it seems like he's always, you know, maybe 2 weeks ahead of everybody else, whether it's the planning of the rotation, how we're going to use everybody on the opponents that we're facing. He's the amount of knowledge that he has and the way he prepares for the games and for us to win. I feel like that's what makes him such a good manager. He's prepared to make all those moves. And then players wise, you know, even with AC, we talked about at the very beginning of spring training, we know, don't let the outside noise in. You know, you're going to have good, you're going to have bad. Obviously, the guys want to hear everybody talk about us when we're playing well, but, you know, you don't want to hear anybody talk bad about you. Sometimes it's a different perspective. It's, you'll be out there playing and, you know, we feel like we're playing better than the way, you know, take the first game in, against Tampa, for example. And when we lost that first game, we were confident. You know, we were squaring balls up. We were hitting balls hard. The walks got to us as on the pitching side of it, and they were able to capitalize on the walks. And then we were squaring up balls, and they were going right to people, and they were already saying, you know, the Rays were going to take it in three, and they were going to roll right through us. And we came out game two, and Sale had his struggles at the beginning of the game, but Houck was able to come in after him and, you know, really pick up Sale, and we were able to add runs and battle back, and we came back and won that game, and then we won the next two in Boston.
Do you ever, like, I want to kind of get into the mind of the athlete. As a former athlete, I remember we'd always say, avoid the noise. But it's human nature as a player that you just think about it. So, like, when a guy like Erod is getting ready to take the mound and there's a lot of negativity going on, talked about him, do you ever give him advice? Because I know you dealt with some of that where as far as people saying, can you stay healthy? Do you ever give him advice on how to handle those situations?
Eddie, for example, no. You know, he's been around long enough. He's experienced. He's a good veteran. He, you know, he's gone through adversity and he's had to battle with all this stuff. So he knows how to handle it. I've talked to some of the other guys, you know, some of the younger guys coming up, just, you know, about relaxing in this moment. You know, we're playing the same game. Obviously, there's more intensity behind it and more meaning behind these games. But it comes back down to the basics. And that's just, you know, on the pitching side of it, it's getting ahead in the count, staying ahead in the count, not giving up free bases. You know, we talk about it all the time. You don't want to give up a leadoff walk. You really don't want to give up a walk any time during an at-bat. There's certain times where you pitch accordingly, you know, around a player that's hot. But for the most part, you're just going out there and doing your thing. And again, it's the same game, but just a lot more intensity out there.
We talked about Alex Cora's connection to Houston, but you're from the area. I know when you were in high school, you played tournaments at Minute Maid Park, and the Astros were interested in signing you at some point. For you, going back there to kick this thing off, Is there a special connection there? Does that add another layer of this for you?
I think so. You know, anytime I get to play in Houston, it's a special moment for me. Just with it being so close to home, I'll have a lot of family and friends out there. And, you know, they're already texting, asking for tickets and things like that. I'm like, I don't even know when I'm pitching yet, you know. So I think it adds a little bit more of excitement for me. And, you know, of course, it just wants me to allows me to go out there and hopefully focus and do even better.
So you haven't been told that you're starting game one yet?
No, I haven't been told anything yet. But, I mean, at this point, you know, we're not really told many, much. It's, you lock in as if you're prepared to throw every day, you know, and that's the, I think that's the beauty of the playoffs. You know, you don't have to go out there and practice every day and, you know, throw bullpens, play catch all the time because your mind just really doesn't shut off. You know, during the season, you know, you're throwing once every fifth day, right? You know, so you can kind of relax a little bit every now and then. But when the playoffs are going, you're locked in from, it's almost like you're locked in from as soon as you wake up to when you go to bed. You know, at night I'm going to bed, I'm exhausted mentally and physically. So,
well, never mind the Houston area. I mean, you've been here long enough. You can consider yourself a true masshole at this point. I mean, you know, complain about the weather, complain about the traffic. You know how it goes.
Right? Weather's been beautiful out here lately.
Yeah, it has.
Can't complain about that.
And Verdugo has been speaking about playing in Boston with glowing reviews. What's the best part about playing for this fan base, in your opinion?
The fans. You know, we get to come into this stadium every day. You know, it's a unique ballpark. Beautiful. And then we have the fans, you know, and I think that's the best part. Everybody's seen our struggles in 2020 dealing with COVID, and it was tough to play in the stadium with no fans and, or even just like the little bit that we had. And I know I'm pretty sure I pitched that first game back this year when we had full capacity when the Marlins were in town. And, I mean, again, the energy and everything running through the stadium and just the vibes even around town, like driving into the field, especially now. You know, the other day I drove in on my start day. I left 20 minutes earlier than I normally do. And, you know, traffic was already starting to pile up on the streets and, you know, it's just everybody walking around the stadium, and you just have that vibe of seeing all the jerseys running around, everything. It's awesome.
Hey, Nathan, prior to your start in Game 3 of the 2018 LCS against the Astros, Bregman trolled you on Instagram showing the back-to-back home runs they hit in June of that season. Is there a team – I mean, do you hate this team more than any other team in baseball, even though the Yankees are kind of the rival? I mean, they seem to rub everybody the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, they have a tendency of rubbing guys the wrong way. I mean, I don't necessarily hate any team, but, you know, they're not high up on my list. But, I mean, hey, it happens. You know, I give up three home runs back-to-back-to-back. But, we were able to come out on top that, you know, that series, and hopefully we're going to be able to do it again this time.
Nathan, what is it about Alex Cora that it seems like players that play for him would be willing to run through a brick wall and willing to do whatever? You know, it's hard to find coaches like that in all sports that you feel like, this guy, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help this guy and the team win. What is it about him?
Yeah, I mean, he's always calm, cool, and collected. You know, and starting back in spring training, we always talk about family. You know, as players, we sacrifice a lot not being with our personal families. So when we're around each other, it has to be like a family. And he does a really good job of making us feel that way. And, you know, everybody feeling well around each other. There's really no groups at the field. We're all one big giant group. And we enjoy being around each other and being together. And I think that goes to show the way he leads us. Again, going back to staying calm and cool and collected, if we do start to struggle, he's able to, you know, right the ship and get us back on track. And, you know, it's usually a simple fix. Kind of the second game against the Rays when we were at home and we were at their place and they scored two and then they answered back with five. You know, he was going up and down the dugout saying, hey, we got three more. We need to score three more runs in eight innings. We got this. You know, there's no pressure. And you break it down that way. And, you know, if we can't score three runs in eight innings, especially with our offense, that's going to be very surprising. And as opposed to, you know, him saying nothing or just staying down at the front of the dugout and letting us come back in and try to do our thing, he sparked us and got us going again, and we were able to keep chipping away, and we were able to come back and win that game.
Nathan Eovaldi's our guest. And any of your superstitions different when it comes to playoff start?
No, you know, I'm actually one of the few pitchers I feel like I don't really have many superstitions. I'll have my routine once I get to the field that I like to stay with, but that usually starts like 4:30 or 5 o'clock. But leading up until then, I really don't have any superstitions. You know, I'll switch up my breakfast. I don't wear the same outfits to the field all the time on start days or things like that. But once we, you know, once we get to the field and I have my routine, like, again, like I'll head to the training room probably around like 4:30, 5 o'clock just to get some work done, get ready for that start that night.
When JD hurt his ankle, it was reported that it was because of a superstition. So has there been something said in the clubhouse to maybe lay off the superstitions this go around?
I think JD might be done with that superstition about jumping on the bag. It was such a freak accident. Fortunately for us, you know, everything timed up to where he'd have enough time to, you know, kind of get that ankle taken care of. And our training staff, again, they've been outstanding for us all year. I mean, you look at the starting pitchers, I think we've had 7 total this year, and none of our starters had gotten hurt. They just got moved to the bullpen, you know, and I think that says a lot about our training staff and the way we manage the team. And, you know, for them to be able to help JD out and get him taken care of and be able to, I mean, it was bad. Yeah, he had a really bad, you know, injury, and he was able to grind through it and participate and definitely helped us out big time with that offense and the at-bats and everything he has up there at the plate.
Nathan, I know you had said when you were a free agent, you had interest in the Sox and the Astros, but Houston really didn't show any interest. Do you hold any grudge for that?
No, not really. I mean, I think, especially being in these moments before, you want to be with the team that wants you the most. You know, it means that much more to you. In 17 and 18, when the Rays had reached out for me, and, you know, they took a big chance on me and, you know, signed me back when I had my second Tommy John. You never know how guys are going to recover from that. And they took that chance in me to rehab me and get me back. And then the Red Sox were able to make that trade and get me over here. And again, you know, when a team puts that belief in you and it gives you that confidence that, you know, they expect you to get the things done and they're going to be able to rely on you, it means a lot to you as a player.
All right. Well, Couple sleeps, and then Friday we'll be here. And my suspicion is that you'll be pitching game one, but I don't want to assume that. But and then back at Fenway, and that's as you said earlier, that crowd, that Fenway crowd has made a difference for you guys this year. Correct?
It's 100%. I mean, having them have our backs and having that energy go out there. I mean, I think it's been surprising a lot of the teams coming in, and it's been good for us.
Electric.
Right. There you go.
Yeah, electric. We'll keep it going. Nathan Evaldi, thanks for joining us, and good luck, and we'll hopefully talk to you again soon.
Go Sox.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Nate Evaldi, brought to you by National Lumber. Wait till you see them, and we got to get out of here. Good dude, though.
Yeah.
Great. We should have him on all the time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.